Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, a residential remodeling company guided by discipline, preparation, and attention to detail. Call Mosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Almost 600 pigeons competed this weekend at the annual Spirit of St. Louis Winter Pigeon Show. Held at Purina Farms just outside St. Louis, the competition showcased a flock of some of the finest pigeons in the country, and with competitors representing Missouri, Illinois, and at least 15 other states. The show was put on by St. Louis Pigeon Fanciers Association. And to explain what a fancier is, it is someone who raises or breeds pigeons. And it is something that humans have been doing for thousands of years. St. Louis on the Air producer Danny Wisentowski attended the pigeon show this past Saturday as well, and he joins me now. Danny, welcome back.
Great to be here, Elaine.
So this was an all-ages, all-breeds pigeon show. What did you see, Danny, when you arrived?
The key word, I think, is just variety. The large competition hall at Purina Farms is kind of a very large barn, if you can imagine it. It had lines of many cages, many names of these different breeds. I was expecting to hear just a cacophony of pigeons, but it is remarkably quiet, but it allowed me to focus on just the amazing variety, as I said, and pigeons who have feathers on their feet in different ways, on their backs, on their heads. They're elongated in different ways. There is so much variety. This perhaps dates me, but it felt like stumbling into someone's collection of every single Pokemon card. And just, it is hard to know what to look at first. And you are continually feeling, I didn't think a pigeon looked like this. That was the thought I kept having in my head.
What were some of the colors that you saw?
An incredible amount of iridescence, a kind of reflective color that would be around their necks, but really colors and patterns of almost every variety. And what it really does take to get into this competition is you need an excellent pigeon. And it can't just be one that you think is excellent because you have an opinion. It has to come out of this book called The Standards of Pigeons. There's a particular way they're supposed to look. And to get my head into this, I met one of the youngest competitors. He's a 16-year-old named Teddy Brinkman from Washington, Missouri. And he showed me a pigeon called the Frillback.
It's very curly on the wings. It swirls in, like, there's multiple ringlets on every feather, or should be. They should be very bold and should be fluent and even on the whole wing.
Tell me about some of the colors we're seeing on this one.
Red, brownish, white, gold, or purple, green. There's the iridescent green and purple on the neck feathers just to pop. Well, the Frillbacks specifically are my favorite because they're so unique and different from all the other breeds, being they have the curly feathers on their backs and on their, like, their wings, and everywhere has curl. So it kind of looks like noodles to me, but...
And that was Teddy Brinkman, who was talking to me just a couple days ago in Washington, Missouri, about the Frillback pigeon, and whose feathers on its wings, I promise you, they look kind of like ramen. They look like noodles. It is wild.
Now, the background is really quiet, and you said that it was quiet. You expected it to be louder. Is this because of how they have been trained? Like, did you get any insight into the conduct of these birds?
I think depending on the gender of the pigeon, if they are trying to attract mates, if they're competing with other males, I think, generally competition animals, birds, they tend to seem to learn how to be quiet or how to behave. Although, if you've ever been to a dog show at Purina, it can be very noisy. Mm-hmm. Different animals will be quite different.
Yeah. What are some of the pigeons that stood out to you personally?
So this was something I love to ask some of the attendees. The one that I was directed to pretty early on was called the Romanian Naked Neck Pigeon, which if you look, it is a very distinctive looking pigeon who is, the neck is not completely naked, but it's a different sort of texture and smaller feathers, and the head sort of looks disconnected from the rest of the pigeon. Personally, I loved the show rollers. These are pigeons that they have long necks that they kind of sit against their large chests, and it gives them a proportion of kind of an orb, a very disapproving orb. They look like a kind of a bank manager who's been asked to move seats in a bus. And I loved the way they look. And I got to talk about them with Caitlin Myers, and she'd brought several show rollers to the weekend's competition.
These guys have a little bit of an attitude, the show rollers. They're pretty spicy, and they'll puff up at you and kind of beat their wings at you. They're a lot closer to your street pigeons, but fluffy. They're quite a bit bigger than your average pigeon, but they've got that nice round head and a nice straight back and just a full appearance, and they can come in pretty much all different colors. You've got the bald heads right here with the white head, and then we've got the regular show rollers that are all different colors and have color over their head. And they're not going to come at you, but they are protective of their babies, and, you know, they're... It's kind of like that person that, you know, is really cocky and they're really confident, and these guys are that.
So cocky and confident.
Caitlin described it, yeah.
Right, right. You know, the range of pigeons you were seeing, was that also reflected, as far as you could tell, in the range of people who are pigeon fanciers?
That's a good point. You know, several of the folks I talked with, this was something their own family had gotten them started on. Their parents had raised pigeons. I had a couple folks mention their fathers. Some of them were really fascinated in a particular breed to start off with, and then they expanded into raising other ones. It seems like this is a passion that kind of just grabs people. But I think, like a lot of things, there's judges here. They are bringing this down into the smallest details, and I was really curious of how one judges a pigeon. And I talked with a guy named Jim Brandt from Iowa, and he showed me one of his Lahore pigeons, and he really gave me a bit of a taste of just how complicated judging can get.
There's 7 disqualification faults just in the markings. If they got a stained beak, they're disqualified, white above the beak, color going through the center of the eye, white ring behind the head, white ring around the neck, white flight feather, colored tail feathers is all a disqualification before you get to body type and condition and how they stand. They've got to stand with a tail approximately a quarter inch off the floor.
So those judges are looking for very little things to...
Sometimes. In fact, sometimes the judges got to get really picky, because there's certain things you would just lose a point for is all. They're not disqualifications. And a friend of mine and I were at a show one time, and there was 8 lavender old hens in the class, and we each had a bird in there, but we lost track because the judge was shuffling them around. Finally, he stepped back and he said, well, 1 and 2 and down the line. He had 2nd, I had 1st. So we asked the guy, well, just what was the difference? And he said, right there on the rump is a colored tail feather. That was the only difference.
And that's right. 1 colored tail feather, as Jim Brandt described it, can be the difference between 1st and 2nd place. That is how narrow the line is here.
Mm-hmm. And the Lahore pigeon, I just looked up an image. It has feathered legs. It almost looks like it's wearing bloomers.
It is amazing. And you kind of feel your own imagination applying human fashion standards to the way these birds' covering and their colors are so different on their body. It changes them in a lot of the ways that a great suit or a dress or a different accessory can really change your own outline.
Mm-hmm. The people who were there, you know, the excitement over what is happening, do you think that the people that you spoke with, that they are excited for the opportunity, you know, to talk about and not just have these pigeons compete, but to talk about these pigeons with people who are not familiar with this hobby?
I think they are. I think I felt a lot of passion from folks. I also heard several people mention that they really are trying to engage younger folks in this practice, in this competition. People who've been involved in this in decades, some of them are getting older. Jim said he'd been doing this for 60 years. They are looking for that next generation of folks. And so I think they are really excited to see people come to these events and to be fascinated with these animals.
Mm-hmm. And is pigeon fancying, is this growing in popularity, Danny?
So I don't know the full answer to that. I'd certainly met some really excited people who attended this event for the first time. One of them was actually someone who'd been on the show, Elizabeth Carlin. She's a Washington University researcher who actually studies feral pigeons in the wild. So she was extremely excited to see this event. And I kind of asked her about her takeaways from the sheer diversity of pigeons that were surrounding us.
Evolution is bringing in diversity, and that's really exciting. And this opportunity to see all of this and maybe to understand traits that were in this lineage in the past is very exciting. As an evolutionary biologist, I think it's beautiful to see all this diversity and kind of all the weird things that can happen to the genome. You know, we do actually see these traits in the feral pigeon population. They're subtle, but we see feathered feet in the feral pigeon population. And we see these little head crests pop up in the feral population. We see different eye colors. And one of the things that I encourage people to do if they're interested in pigeons or if they're afraid of pigeons is to look at that flock and look for that individual diversity within the flock, because there's quite a bit there.
And that was Elizabeth Carlin again talking to me on Saturday at the Pigeon Show about the diversity of the humble pigeon.
Mm-hmm. What is your takeaway from this first pigeon show? Why would you recommend that other people maybe check it out when it comes back again?
I think the short version is almost like any other animal competition, your cat shows, your dog shows. These are things that allow you to open your eyes to the great beauty and personalities of these animals, but also the connections that people have with them is almost just as special and beautiful as the competition itself.
Mm-hmm. And do you plan to go back?
I definitely will.
Did you go on your own this time?
I went with some friends. We all really enjoyed being around these birds and having our own favorites and seeing a bit of the anthropomorphization, the people kind of behavior in these animals. It was a really wonderful mirror and an experience.
Mm-hmm. And then the last question here, did you take any pictures that are now the wallpaper for your phone?
You know, some of these, the frill back noodle-like wings were so, if you look those up, the texture is unlike anything else, and to see it on a bird is so astonishing.
Mm-hmm. Danny Wisentowski is a St. Louis On the Air producer. Thank you so much for talking fancy pigeons with us today.
Very fancy to be here, Elaine.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis On the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.